welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
A PwC Employee Financial Wellness Survey, which tracks the financial and retirement well-being of working U.S. adults nationwide, found that financial stress was up in 2016. With 52% of employees stressed about their finances. 45% of employees said that financial matters caused them the most stress in their lives. 42% of millennial employees are burdened with student loans, and 79% tell us that their student loans have a moderate or significant impact on their ability to meet their other financial goals. An article written for CNBC by Kelly Holland, released in 2015, noted that finances are the leading cause of stress in a relationship, according to a survey released by SunTrust Bank. Some 35% of all respondents experiencing relationship stress said money was the primary cause of friction. Annoying habits came in second at 25%. Money and stress do seem to go hand in hand for many Americans, whether they're in relationships or not. A study by the American Psychological Association found that almost three-quarters of Americans are experiencing financial stress at least some of the time, and nearly a quarter of us are feeling extreme financial stress. But divergent views and values can make money a particular source of tension within couples. The SunTrust survey found that 36% of partners in a relationship do not consult their significant other about even large purchases. 34% said they were the saver and their partner was the spender, and just 13% said the reverse. That also means that 47% of the respondents say they and their partner had different saving and spending habits. And couples aren't just arguing about money, they're hiding transactions from each other. One in five Americans in a relationship said they have spent $500 or more and not told their partner, and 6% maintain secret accounts or credit cards, according to a poll conducted by creditcards.com. Obviously, money matter. But where do we begin to get down to the truth about money? There are so many financial help books on the market today that it can be a daunting task to sort through them all, to get down to the real heart of the matter when it comes to our finances and relationships, especially when trying to navigate through the world's wisdom as well as the world's lies. The Bible contains over 2,300 verses on money. 15% of the Bible is about money and possessions. That is more than any other single topic, including heaven, hell, faith, or prayer. Certainly, this would indicate that God has much to say about this topic. Recently, my husband and I went through a financial review process. Now that we're empty nesters, we wanted to get an accounting of how we were doing as stewards of God's gifts and preparing for the future. In the process of this review, we were given a copy of a rather unique book on the topic of money. Now, over the years, we've been through several really good financial seminars and have read some excellent books on the subject, and I will feature some of those on future programs. But after reading The Truth About Money Lies, written by Russ Crossan and Kelly Talamo, it was clear that this book provided the best place to start for those seeking truth in the matter of money. Why did this book garner a top spot with me? Russ Crossan in the book's foreword explains it best. Everyone picks up a book for a reason. It can be to learn, laugh, engage, or escape. But behind any of these reasons is the desire for change. We want something about ourselves to be different when we put down the book. So when we pick up a book, we say to the writer, "Teach me something I don't know," or "Take me somewhere I've never been." Those are certainly the goals of the Truth About Money Lies. So come be a part as financial expert Russ Crossan teams up with gifted communicator Kelly Talamo to expose the common lies people believe about money. Through the use of everyday stories about men and women wrestling with financial decisions, just like the ones we all make, Russ and Kelly refute these lies by revealing what the Bible says is the truth about money. Even though Kelly and I have completely different gifts and very different audiences, Russ writes, the two of us share one thing in common. We know it's not what we think about money, but what God thinks that matters. Therefore, we take people where they can find truth and let them decide for themselves what they should do. Welcome to The Truth About Money Lies, a book we believe will take you somewhere. Before we dive in, we want to put your mind at ease, Russ clarifies. This is not a do this book on how to manage your money. We won't tell you how to budget, tithe, or complete an estate plan. In fact, you don't have to fill out a single worksheet. And if you don't like being told what to do, especially with your money, this book is for you. Now you have an idea why I selected this book for the Fireside Bookshelf. Because it's a great place to start to examine our beliefs about money. Because before we can get to the how-to of managing our money, we must understand what we believe about money and why we believe it. So how does this book work? At the beginning of each chapter, Russ and Kelly will tell you a story that happens every day. Each story illustrates a lie about money. There is nothing magical about the stories. They simply reveal the way people tend to think. Whenever our minds buy into a lie about money, it's only a matter of time before we live out that lie. As you read each story, you will do what you always do, without even thinking about it. You'll find your place or where you fit in the story. The authors never tell you where it is. They won't have to. If you're in the story, you'll know it as soon as you see it. Since every truth will become evident, an application will be easy to make. At the end of the story, ask yourself one of these questions. Is this a lie I have believed? Or is this a lie I'm currently living out? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. We don't know, Russ explains, but if you're honest with yourself, you will know. And really, that's what matters. After each story, there will be a significant truth that counteracts the lie in the story. The story illustrates how the world thinks about money. God's Word tells us how He thinks. You then get to choose how you want to think and subsequently live. It's as simple as that. Why will this book work for you? Because every spiritual problem you and I have can be traced back to a lie we bought into. When Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free," John 8:32, He didn't mean that knowing generic truth will set you generically free from every deception that exists. Jesus commanded that a specific truth has the power to set us free from a specific lie that may have deceived us. And when it comes to money, there are hundreds of them. Before we look at some of the common lies about money and how they impact our lives, it is critical that we unpack the concept of truth. What is truth? Truth is that which is fact, a reality that's certain, genuine, correct, and immovable. It's honest, solid, and never artificial. It never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So where does truth come from? This is where it gets interesting, Russ reveals. At first glance, there appear to be hundreds, if not thousands, of truth sources to choose from. But in reality, there are only two that we can look to: the world and God's Word, the Bible. Both will shape our thinking. One will conform us to a system where we'll think and act like everyone else. The other will renew our minds and empower us to think and act like children of God. The cold and chilling truth is that when it comes to our money, Many of us choose to get our truth, facts, and reality from the world, and that shouldn't surprise us. After all, we are inundated by the world's way of thinking through a constant media bombardment, including Twitter, iPhones, iPads, laptops, magazines, news shows, and 500-plus cable channels on every topic imaginable. Media soundbites, regardless of their source, accuracy, or validity, end up defining reality for us. Often we don't take time to check out the source of a media fact. Is it reliable? Is it accurate? Have I checked this against another source? As more and more of our facts come from media, is it any wonder that our framework for thinking is being influenced by the world? And this is especially true about money issues. What do media voices tell us about money? Russ asks. That we only go around once, so take on debt, buy whatever you want, live your life with the gusto you deserve. The world says work is bad, so hurry up and earn a bundle so you can quit working, retire, and enjoy life. The world says taxes are a problem and budgets are restrictive. We are bombarded with the fact that it's okay to overspend because we can always pay off debt with cheaper dollars later. Keep money close to the vest, never talk about it. Make sure you leave your children a big pile of money so they don't have to go through whatever you went through. On top of all of this, we're never encouraged to give our money away to good causes. Instead, we're told that our next purchase will bring us happiness. It is Russ and Kelly's contention, however, that in order to experience absolute freedom, especially in the area of money, it's imperative that we get our truth from God's Word. Jesus said to God, "Your word is truth." John 17:17. The Apostle Paul told us that God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. And David put it all so well when he told the Lord, "The sum of your word is truth." Psalms 119:160. If we take the word of God and add it all up, it amounts to absolute truth. In light of that, wouldn't it be wise for us to get our facts and reality about life from the God of the universe, from the one who cannot tell a lie and offers us the truth to live by through his word? We all have a system of beliefs, a truth system, if you will, that affects every decision we make. That truth system is either built on what comes from the world or what comes from God's word. There is no middle ground. And what we believe will always play out in the way we live. Listen as Russ and Kelly illustrate. The world has little or no fear of being in debt. For decades, the world has told us that the way to get ahead is to borrow. In other words, we use other people's money to get what we want. But the Bible, truth from God's word, flatly contradicts that. It says that a borrower becomes the lender's or master's slave. As long as we're able to make our payments, everything seems fine because the master is quiet. But the truth is that we are really in bondage, and the moment we can't pay, the master calls in his chips. With mortgage foreclosures and the increase in personal bankruptcies, we are seeing the impact of the bondage of debt as tens of thousands of families feel the exacting hands of their debt masters. Russ has been in the financial business for over 30 years and writes that he has noticed an interesting shift. It used to be when people were asked if they had debt, they would say no, except of course for my house mortgage. Now they say no, even while having multiple mortgages, auto loans, and typically owe on a credit card or two. How can that be? Did the definition of debt suddenly change? No. But the perception has changed. We have regressed so far in our thinking that we no longer call debt, debt. The world says everybody has a home mortgage, so that's not really debt. Everybody has a car loan, so that's not really debt. We can make the payments, so we're okay. But our interpretation of debt doesn't change the facts. We, the borrowers, are still slaves to the lenders. We know that truth-based decisions ultimately produce the best results. but truth-based decisions often appear to be no fun in light of the many competing alternatives. And who wants that? Who wants to take the fun out of life? I would really enjoy a new car, new computer, new boat, vacation, bigger house now. So why not get it right now? The answer is, don't do it. Why? Because decisions based on truth will ultimately allow us to experience peace of mind and abundant life. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. Few of us would place more value on fun than on peace of mind, but we make our decisions quite to the contrary. We make some of our decisions based on flat-out lies, even when deep down in our hearts we know better. And this is especially true in the area of our finances. Russ and Kelly remind us, we are free to accept or reject the truth. We are just not free from the consequences. It is no accident that the New Testament focuses so much on financial matters. Believing a worldly lie about money clouds our minds to the truths in God's Word. It takes our focus from our eternal God and places it on the temporal things, and it shifts our affections from the God who loves us to that which has no lasting value. There's one more problem with financial lies. Financial lies can take a long time to recover from. We can get into debt overnight, but it will take us years to get out of it. One swipe of a credit card can be a 5-year setback, and one bad investment can take a lifetime to right. The first half of John 10:10 describes Satan's true role in preventing abundant life, that he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Have any lies in the financial area of your life destroyed any abundance in the life you now live? Of course they have. That's their purpose. That's what they do. When it comes to learning the truth and aborting lies about money, it's wise that we prepare for a battle. We are up against some very formidable opposition. 1 John 2:16 says, All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. In addition to the world, our very own flesh is working against us. That is why it's so important to understand the truth from God's Word. Only His truth will set us free. Feeling overwhelmed? Don't be, Russ and Kelly assure us, because the same Word of God tells us this. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. God has made it clear that for every lie that ensnares us, there is a corresponding truth to set us free. God made His Word clear and simple. So in keeping with our lie-truth theme, here is a lie. There are unlimited uses of money. Here is the truth. At the end of the day, anything you do with your money will fit into one of 5 categories. You're probably thinking that's crazy. There's got to be a lot more than that, right? No. Every credit card swipe, every check, every use of cash, every dollar that flows from your hands will fall into one of these 5 categories. Living or lifestyle expenses, charitable giving, income taxes, debt repayment, or savings and investments. And guess what? The great deceiver produces lies for each of these categories. And if he decided to take a vacation, the lies wouldn't disappear. We are perfectly capable of making them up ourselves. In fact, as long as we are breathing, we can lie to ourselves about how we use our money. So are you ready for the truth about money lies? Remember, you are free to accept or reject the truth. You are not free from the consequences, though, if you choose to reject the truth. Choose wisely, and freedom awaits. Within the pages of Truth About Money Lies, you'll find 15 chapters, each including a lie about money and the corresponding biblical truth. There are also some excellent questions at the end of each chapter, entitled Thinking It Through, which can really help you in determining if a particular lie is where you find yourself. Lies like, as long as we can make the payments, we're fine. retirement is the ultimate goal of working hard, or the more my children inherit, the better off they'll be. And finally, the harder I work, the more money I'll make. That last lie in particular was one that both my husband and I were prone to listen to. Because as Russ and Kelly share, there is no correlation between how hard we work and how much we make. There is a cause and effect, but not a correlation. The only explanation of how much we make is not our brilliance or our labor. It's the providence of God and our vocation He inspired. In their book, Russ and Kelly ask you to do one small thing. They ask you to find your place in the stories they share regarding the lies and truths about money. Although many of the characters are fictional, all the issues in the stories are realistic. They happen every day and probably somewhere in a place near you. In areas where your thinking aligns with God, you will probably identify with the characters who stood for the truth. In those cases, keep it up. But in any area where you find your thinking is challenged, they hope you will seek God's direction regarding your next step to living in financial truth. When people ask them, "Where did you come up with these lies?" Without trying to be flippant, they reply, "We just looked in the mirror." It is not easy to admit, they write, but we too have bought into money lies at one time or another, even when we knew better. Dan Cathy, CEO of Chick-fil-A, wrote this in the book's foreword. You know, all of us are susceptible to falling for the world's way of making choices about our money. But biblical truths and principles are the same for all generations. They are always true, always relevant, and always pointing us in the direction we need to be headed. As we chase down different paths to find what's real about money in our daily lives, Rush shares truth that will ensure we are headed in the right direction financially. As long as we are on this earth, we will continue to be bombarded with lies. Why? Because our enemy Satan is the prince of this earth, and he has only one game. He is a liar, the father of lies, and his lies deceive us. John 8:43-44. Think about that. Lies are all Satan has to work with, and he's really good at it. In fact, he's brilliant. That's the bad news. The good news? God, who cannot lie, is greater than he who is in the world. And God is in us. He is truth, and his word contains truth about managing our lives and our money. Remember, as long as we allow him to live through us, we will be able to handle anything the world and Satan throws at us. Galatians 2:20. We will be able to distinguish truth from lies. Our challenge to you is to keep seeking God, study his word, which is the source of all truth, and make your life goal to think like him. The Truth About Money Lies by Russ Crossan and Kelly Talamo can usually be found online and is currently available in hardback, paperback, and digital format. You can also find more information about a series of upcoming videos at www.ronblue.com. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended by an author doesn't necessarily mean all books by an author are recommended. Remember, you the reader should always read with discernment. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk, and to be able to share those resources with you.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.